Wax's mind, and she hesitated. But after all, it had been a long day, and it was ridiculous when you came to think about it. "Well, all right," she said, "but I'm not going to kick any jam, you understand."
"There's dancing and all sorts," said Nanny.
"And banana drinks, I expect," said Magrat.
"It's a million to one chance, yes," said Nanny Og happily.
Lilith de Temskire smiled at herself in the double mirror.
"Oh, dearie me," she said. "No coach, no dress, no horses. What is a poor old godmother to do? Dearie me, and probably Lorks."
She opened a small leather case, such as a musician might use to carry his very best piccolo. There was a wand in there, the twin of the one carried by Magrat. She took it out and gave it a couple of twists, moving the gold and silver rings into a new position. The clicking sounded like the nastiest pump-action mechanism.
"And me with nothing but a pumpkin, too," said Lilith.
And of course the difference between sapient and non-sapient things was that while it was hard to change the shape of the former, it was not actually impossible. It was just a matter of changing a mental channel. Whereas a non-sapient thing, like a pumpkin, and it was hard to imagine anything less sapient than a pumpkin, could not be changed by any magic short of sorcery. Unless its molecules remembered a time when they weren't a pumpkin. She laughed, and a billion reflected Liliths laughed with her, all around the curve of the mirror universe. Fat lunchtime was no longer celebrated in the centre of Genua, but in the shanty town around the high white buildings, it strutted its dark and torchlit stuff. There were fireworks. There were dancers and fire-eaters and feathers and sequins. The witches, whose idea of homely entertainment was a Morris dance, watched open-mouthed from the crowded sidewalk as the parades strutted by.
"There's dancing skeletons," said Nanny, as a score of bony figures whirred down the street.
"They're not," said Magrat. "They're just men in black tights with bones painted on."
Someone nudged Granny Weatherwax. She looked up into the large, grinning face of a black man. He passed her a stone jug.
"There you go, honey."
Granny took it, hesitated for a moment, and then took a swig. She nudged Magrat and passed on the bottle.
"Gizir," she said.
"What?" shouted Magrat above the noise of the marching band.
"The man wants us to pass it on," said Granny.
Magrat looked at the bottleneck. She tried surreptitiously to wipe it on her dress, despite the self-evident fact that germs on it would have burned off long ago. She ventured a brief nip, and then nudged Nanny Og.
"Quizzitlunger,"
she said, and dabbed at her eyes. Nanny upended the bottle. After a while, Magrat nudged her again.
"I think we're meant to pass it on," she ventured.
Nanny wiped her mouth, and passed the now rather lighter jug randomly to a tall figure on her left.
"Here you go, mister," she said.
"Thank you.
Nice costume you got there. Them bones are painted on really good."
Nanny turned back to watch a procession of juggling fire-eaters. Then a connection appeared to be made somewhere in the back of her mind. She looked up. The stranger had wandered off. She shrugged.
"What shall we do next?" she said.
Granny Weatherwax was staring fixedly at a group of Ground Zero limbo dancers. A lot of the dancers in the parades had this in common. They expressed explicitly what things like maypoles only hinted at. They covered it with sequins, too.
"You'll never feel safe in the privy again, eh?"
said Nanny Og. At her feet, Grebo sat primly watching some dancing women wearing nothing but feathers, trying to work out what to do about them.
"No, I was thinking of something else. I was thinking about how stories work. And now, I think I'd like something to eat," said Granny weakly. She rallied a bit. "And I mean, some proper food, not something scraped off the bottom of a pond. And I don't want any of this cuisine stuff, neither."
"You ought to be more adventurous, Granny," said Magrat.
"I ain't against adventure, in moderation," said Granny, "but not when I'm eating."
"There's a place back there that does alligator sandwiches," said Nanny, turning away from the parade. "Can you believe that? Alligators in a sandwich."
"That reminds me of a joke," said Granny Weatherwax.
Something was nagging at her consciousness. Nanny Og started to cough, but it didn't work.
"This man went into an inn," said Granny Weatherwax, trying to ignore the rising uneasiness, "and he saw this sign, and it said, 'We serve all kinds of sandwiches,' and he said, 'Get me an alligator.'